Psalm chapter 63. We're going to look there this evening. Psalm chapter 63, and we'll read the 11 verses here. Psalm chapter 63. We'll read through it, and we'll pray, and we'll let you be seated. It says here in Psalm chapter 63 and verse 1, we'll begin, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, excuse me, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, my right hand upholdeth, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for the foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all that you've done so far this evening and actually today, Lord. I pray as we settle in here for a few minutes to look at your word, that you would speak to our hearts through your word. I pray that you'd strengthen us, help us to get that which you have for us tonight. May we go away from here just a little bit different than we were when we came. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This psalm was written by David while he was in the wilderness. Most people believe that he wrote it during the time that he was fleeing from Absalom, during the time that Absalom had his little rebellion and David had to kind of hide out for a few weeks, months. During the troubling time, we see if we read the psalm that David looks up to the Lord and he affirms his faith in God and also his love for the Lord. Now, when we look at this psalm, we see all we need to see when we look at that first little phrase in verse 1 where David says, O God, and I like this part, thou art my God. Amen. My God. He wasn't just speaking of God in general terms. David was looking at the Lord and he said, he's not just God, he is my God. I like that phrase. There's something personal about that. There's a couple phrases I like. I like the phrase my God. I like the phrase that Grant Rice, the old church planner, used to come to our church before he passed away. He'd always come and he'd always say, the living God. And there's something about that phrase I like. But I like the phrase my God. And so when David is speaking here, he's talking about God in a personal term. Not just in general, the Lord, God, or whatever. He's saying, he is my God. Very personal. He's also talking relational. He had a relationship with God. During this tough time, if it was when he was running from Absalom, would have been a very, very difficult, very trying time for David. But yet he says, I know that the Lord, he is my God. Now, really, the encouragement to us tonight would be this. Is God our God? We know that David was a man after God's own heart. When God was talking to Saul about taking the kingdom away from him and he was going to give it to another king, he told him that he was going to seek for someone who would be a man after his own heart. This is in 1 Samuel. And so David was a man after God's own heart. Now, and to encourage us, David was not a perfect man. David had his issues in his life. We understand that he had an issue in the matter of Bathsheba when he should have been out to war. Instead, he was home and he's watching this lady from his balcony take a bath and he brings him up to his house and he had an adulterous relationship with her. And then if that wasn't bad enough, David has her husband brought back and tries to get her husband to have a relationship with her so that he would think the child is his and not understand that David had been immoral with his wife. By the way, whenever you start to sin, you start thinking all kinds of crazy ideas. Really, there's no, by the way, you're not going to get out of it Okay, be sure your sin will find you out. But David had these issues, and then he eventually has to have Uriah killed. And then we see the issues he had with Absalom and his family. And then the issues where he counted, he wanted all the people counted to see how great his kingdom was, and God didn't want that. David was not a perfect man, but yet David always came back to the Lord. And despite the fact that he was man and he was flesh and he had issues, David still had a heart for God and always came back to him. Our desire, really, what church ought to be a place where we come and our desire for God grows and God becomes more personable to us. David's God ought to be our God. Can it be said of you tonight that you could say, you know what? He's not just God, he is my God. I feel that close to him that I can say, he's not just a God, he's not just God, he's not just Savior, he is my God, he is my Savior. By the way, we need to take it past lip service. Too many of us say that and there's nothing behind it. I've met all kinds of people that say they're Christian and you talk to them for a little bit and there's nothing Christian about them. They're Christian like they're a Democrat or Republican or whatever they are. They just kind of throw that tag on there, but there's no substance behind it. And we don't want to be like that. As we look through this psalm, we see several qualities I want us just to briefly look at tonight that we will have if God is not just God, he's our God. There's something personal about it. There's something relational about it in our life. We'll have several of these qualities. The first quality I want you to see is if God is really our God, he'll be our priority. He says in verse 1, early will I seek thee. What is he saying? God is number one in my life. He is first place in my life. Let me ask you this. Do you say, oh, I love the Lord, but if I were to look at the priorities of your life, would that be backed up? Would there be evidence to prove that God is your God? God must be our priority. God must be number one. Everything else that we do in our lives ought to flow from the fact that God is number one in our life. By the way, God doesn't want to be second place. Sometimes I feel bad because we give God our leftovers. By the way, you give leftovers to dogs. Okay? By the way, and some people don't give their dogs leftovers. You know, you see these advertisements in the newspaper, and it's like the dog food looks better than the stuff you had for dinner. Okay? It's a dog. He doesn't need 100% meat. He drinks out of the toilet, okay? It's a dog. But we give God whatever's left over. One of the best sermons pastor ever preached, one of my favorite, he preached a stewardship message on don't give God the leftovers. And this is back when we were at the old building over on Anaheim, and he had somebody with a barbecue out there grill up a steak. And just so happens, he had me sit up on a table there. And what he did is he put the steak on my plate, and I was supposed to represent what I gave to God, and I kept eating the steak. By the way, I liked being selfish on that day. What a great message. And when I got done with the steak, I said, Pastor's like, what's left for God? It's like the bone. That's what we do with our life. We don't give God the priority. We give God the leftovers. God doesn't want your leftovers. He wants you to put him first place. We need to put God first place in our time. By the way, church ought to be a priority in your life. You say, why are you saying that? Because the Bible makes it clear we're supposed to be with God's people. We ought to practice for to flourish. And think. And I'm not talking to a Sunday morning crowd. I'm talking to a Sunday night crowd. So thank you for being here. Hope to see you Thursday night, all right? But it ought to just not be, well, you know, there was nothing else I was doing tonight, so I'll come to church. No, it's the priority. It's in the schedule, okay? Grandma calls and says, hey, we're going to have a late dinner. We want you to come. It's like, Grandma, I love you. Save me a plate. I'm going to church first. God ought to be the priority in our life. Church ought to just be there. By the way, if you work and someone says, hey, let's go to a football game, if you're working, you're not going to just ditch work. So I have to work. Why? Because you get paid. Well, you know what? Church ought to be the priority in our life. God ought to be the priority. Your devotion time you spend with God, that ought to be a priority in your life. Make sure you're reading your Bible and following your Bible reading schedule. I hope that when we get to the end of this year, now, by the way, if you're behind, I'm just going to tell you right now, you're probably not going to finish. You got a month left, okay? But you can start now, but I'll tell you what you can do. When January rolls around, get that Bible reading calendar we give you, and let's if you've never done it before, read through your Bible this year. Unless you can read it all in a month, then that'd be fine too. But devotion time. Does God get the priority? And God ought to have the priority in our stewardship. Now, we don't like that word because when we think about it, we only think about giving. Stewardship is not giving. Giving is a fruit of stewardship. Okay? That's something we really need to get in our lives. If stewardship is in our life, all the things we do will just be the fruit of that decision. Stewardship. That's giving God everything we have, our time, our talent, and our treasures. We ought to be doing that. I can tell you what's a priority in your life if I check two things. This isn't Stewardship Month, but you already know it if you've seen our Sunday school lessons. What are the two things we can check to tell what's a priority in your life? Your calendar and your checkbook. What gets your time? What gets your treasure? That's what's important to you. You say, no. This is important to me. But if it's not in your calendar, and if it's not in your checkbook, that's what we call lip service. Oh, you know, I love my wife. You never take her out. You never buy her anything. It doesn't matter what you say. It's not true. And the same is true in our life. What gets the priority in our life? Why do we do the things we do? We ought to be doing it because God is first place in our life. By the way, if we just nailed that, all the other things would be all right. There wouldn't be an issue with anything. If we understood what real stewardship was, God gave me everything that I have, and everything I have is His, including myself. By the way, we don't need you to throw your money in the offering plate. We don't need you to throw your check in the offering plate. Fact of the matter is, you ought to crawl into the offering plate yourself. That's what God wants. God wants you. That's all He wants. He wants you. And so if we did that, all the other things we did would not be a problem. That's why it tells us, I believe it's in Romans, that the Lord will give us things. It's like, hey, if He gave us His Son, how shall He not freely give us all things? If God gave us the most important thing in His life, as we've talked about prayer over the last few weeks, why wouldn't God want to give us those things which we need? But it needs to be a reality, not just lip service. Why do we do the things we do? I read a great story. In the 1600s, there was King Louis the 14th of France, and he went to a church of a man named Francis Felion, a French man. And he would go each week, and this was the church that the king went to, so each week the church was very crowded, of course. Very well-known church. Well, one week, Pastor Francis, got word out that the king is not going to be here this week. And the word kind of spread through there. That Sunday when they came to church, there was a very sparse crowd. Now, the king would come in right before the service would start, and everybody, there was only a handful of people there, and right before the service began, the king came walking in. After the service, he talked to them. He said, hey, where was everybody today? He said, and he told him what he did. He goes, well, you know, I let the word out that you weren't going to be here this week, although I knew you were going to be here. He goes, I just wanted to let you know who comes to worship the Lord and who comes to worship you. And that's how we are. Why do we do the things we do? It ought to be because God's number one in our life and He's the priority. And so if God is real in your life, like He was real to David, He will be the priority in your life. Secondly, also in verse 1, you'll notice that God will be our passion. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Notice the picture there. David said, I'm as passionate for God as I would be if I was a man who was thirsty in a dry desert and I needed something to drink and I was thirsting for water. He goes, that's how much I have a passion for God. Let me ask you, are you passionate about God? People are passionate about everything else but God. Oh, you know, I don't like it when people say amen in church. Have you ever been to a sporting event? I took the boys to the USC game, and they beat Stanford. Was an upset, I guess. We found out the other day they're not as good as we thought. But after the game, everybody was yelling and screaming, and the people rushed the field, and they were all excited and running and screaming. But you say, if you give a holy grunt in church, someone says, hey, what's that all about? I remember I had a Christian guy, when I used to work in the warehouse, I had this little station where I would work sometimes, and I put the radio on, and I listened to preaching, and there was a guy, he was a graduate of a Moody Bible Institute, and he came up to me, he goes, hey, how come the guy raises his voice? What's that all about? And I looked at him, I said, it's called passion. Passion. I don't know if you guys remember this. In the 70s, there was this guy, if you were back in the 70s, you understand it. There was this guy, that's back when afros were in. You know, the big old hairstyles. Now, some cases, it's trying to make a comeback, amen? But the afros were in. And there was this guy that would be at every major sporting event, And his afro was, it was rainbow colored. Now, that's back before rainbow had a very bad connotation, okay? Rainbow doesn't mean what it means today, all right? So don't lose me here. And this guy would be at the World Series. He would be at the Super Bowl. He would be at every big-time sporting event. And he had his rainbow thing, and he would always have a sign that said John 3:16. How many remember that guy? Okay, yeah. We found out years later that he had some issues. He was arrested for trying to kill himself. But I guess we found out why his hair was really... That guy was a nutcase. That guy was there. All these games, and you'd always see him like, there he is again. Does the guy have a job? How does he get ticked? What is the guy doing with his life? But he was a fanatic, I guess, for Jesus. We found out he was just a fanatic, period. I remember years ago, and this is probably a bad illustration. Maybe I shouldn't even give it. But I remember years ago as a teenager, an unsaved teenager. We were hanging out on a Friday night, and the guys go, hey, let's go to this midnight movie. And I'm like, okay, what is it? Now I wouldn't recommend it. It was called the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And it's a very bad movie, by the way. But I had no idea what it was about. And so it was like they played this like every Friday and Saturday night, this movie theater down here on 3rd Street would play this movie. And I'm like, well, I don't know. We got nothing to do. We'll go. We went in there, and we paid our money to get in. And I'll never forget, I'm walking into the walk-in movie, and the, you know, they had these swinging doors, and you opened it in. And everything was good until I opened that door. I opened the door, and I could not believe what these people were doing in that theater. As soon as you open the door, people were running around, climbing on the seats. People were throwing stuff. A guy is running down the aisle with a flamethrower. Like, and I'm like, what did I just get myself into here? What I come to find out is there were some people that they go watch this movie every single week. I don't remember a lot because I was freaked out. I'm like, this is crazy. I don't know what's going on here. And I was actually, they were throwing eggs. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I can't believe that people are letting them do this, but I guess they're making money at it. But I remember the opening scene of the movie had something to do with a wedding. People were throwing rice. They were throwing toilet paper. They were quoting the words. And I thought, this is ridiculous. These people were passionate about this stupid movie. They had everything memorized. Every little scene in the movie, they would throw something that had to do with it. But yet, if somebody talks about Jesus, you know what we're told? Calm down. Calm down. You're making too much of Jesus. You're being a fanatic here. Don't push it down my throat. But yet, they'll wear the little thing. You know, the animal rights activists try to push it down your throat. Meat is murder. No, meat isn't murder. Meat is good. Okay? If God did not want us to eat animals, he should not have made them out of meat. You know, PETA, P-E-T-A, I saw a t-shirt that said PETA, people for the eating of tasty animals. That's where I'm at. Okay? And you get all passionate about dumb, stupid things, but why don't we get passionate about Jesus Christ? See, that's where we're at in our Christianity. We'll offend somebody if we talk about the Lord. Let's just kind of wind it down a little bit. David said, I'm not winding nothing down. I'm after God like I need a drink of water. Passion. How passionate are you? People are passionate about everything else. You'll sit there and you'll read some magazine. It's like, wow, what a great story. And then you open up the Bible and, oh. Yeah. We'll talk to friends. We're all excited about it. But when it comes to talking about Jesus, oh. After all, I might mess it up and they might go to hell. Hey, they're already on their way to hell if they're not saved. Okay? You're not going to mess it up. Love God. Don't be a doofus. Talk normally. Tell them how good God is and let them run with it. You're not going to hurt anything. You watch some movie and you're totally into it. You come to church and it's like, I wonder how many lights there are. 2, 4, 6, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times 8 is 64. There, I answered your question. Can we move on? Okay. Hello. Don't even try to. By the way, white lights are retarded. I don't get, we need colored lights. White lights are for girls. Anyhow, I'm colorblind, but I do know their colors, all right? You sing songs on the radio. You see people sing songs on the radio? You ever see a car and some guy's bebopping his car, you know? He's like, they're playing the drums and they're going to town, and then you look at them like, right? Man, you get in that shower and you know every song. Some of you, you're new maybe, and you sing all the songs, the lame songs on the radio. You know, I love them, I lost my dog, whatever. Someone says if you play country music backwards, you get your wife back, you get your dog back, you get your truck back, all right? And then you get into church and we sing a song and you can't get a holy grunt. I mean, come on. What are we passionate about? David said, I'm passionate about God. I'm not going to hide it. So if God is really your God, he'll be the priority in your life. He'll be your passion in your life. Look at verse 2. And he'll be your power. David said, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. See, what David in essence is saying is, I just don't want to see God working, and I don't want to just see things and be excited about God when I'm in church or I'm at the sanctuary. I want to see that power that's at the sanctuary in my life. Don't you want to see God do things in your life? Don't you want God's power to be evident in your everyday life? You want to be a part of your life, not just when you're at church, but everywhere you go. God's power can do amazing things. God is with us 24/7. If the only time we meet with God is when we're at church, we're not going to meet with him very much. That's like, look, I say, I come to church on Sunday. How many of you would make it by just eating on Sunday and maybe having half a meal on Thursday? Man, you'd be starving. Hey, probably a good weight loss, amen. After Thanksgiving, we probably could do that for a couple weeks and everything would be all right. No. Hey, listen, we need God more than just on Thursday and on Sunday. Okay? God is our power. You say, man, I struggle sometimes in certain things in your Christian life. Hey, get in line. Get in line. We all fight the same enemies. We're all fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil. Hey, but let me tell you something. You can get over all that. You can have victory. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hey, God's spirit dwells inside of you, and he doesn't want to just, you know, be with us when we're here. Like, wow, that was good. I feel really good when I'm around God's people. And then we leave the place. You know, God is still with you. And the spirit of God can help you through his power to live the life that God wants you to live. Someone has said the Christian life isn't hard. It's impossible. We cannot live it on our own. Aren't you glad that we have God's power to help us get through life? But we're not going to see it if God's not real to us. How come I don't see God's power? Let me ask you, how real is he to you? How close do you desire to be to him? Do you really want to be able to say that he is my God? Well, if he is, you'll see his power. Also, if he's your God, he'll be your praise. Verse 3, I believe. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. So if God is really your God, you'll have some pretty good things to say about him. He will be your praise. You want to know what's important to a person? Talk to him and find out what's important. You just have, look, and when you go soul winning, sometimes you can talk to people and you're just trying to get a conversation started and it's like they're going nowhere. If you can find that one thing that they're really, really excited about, they'll talk about that subject forever. You got to find it. And it's some lame subject that has nothing to do with anything. Most people spend their life on some cause that's not even worthy. Remember, I read one of Brother Gibbs' books one time and he said he was on an airplane. He was flying somewhere. I think he was flying from San Francisco back east. And he said he got on the airplane, and some lady got on the plane, and she had this little, like, round, I don't know if you call it, like a round thing you store posters in. And she's carrying this on the airplane, and he said she got next to him on the airplane. He's like, man, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just wanted to take it easy. And she kept hinting at what was in this canister. And he's like, I don't want to find out. He goes, I don't want to have a conversation with this lady. And she kept hinting at it. He goes, man, I better just talk to her now and get it over with. He goes, okay, lady, what is in there? And she goes, this is my whole reason for living. This is what I live for. He's like, wow, it must be pretty important. So she took it out. It was a picture of a whale. She goes, I live my whole life to save the whales. He said, really? She goes, yep. I goes, in fact, she goes, I'm flying home from my annual Save the Whales convention that they had. Probably San Francisco. There's all kinds of nonsense going on up there. So he says, he said, I looked at her and he just asked her a question. He goes, well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever actually done it? She goes, done what? He goes, have you ever actually saved a whale? And she looked at him and said, you know, I'm not sure. Said, wow, what a cause. But she'll talk about the blue whale from here to there and back. Hey, why don't we talk about God? God is worthy to be praised. And if he's your God, you'll have good things to say about him. I remember I had a buddy, we were working, I was working over in Florida, and we're working third shift. I was a newlywed, and there was a guy there that was at Bible college with us, and he's working third shift, and he was dating some girl. And all night long, all I heard about was his girlfriend. And long about 3 a.m, you're stripping floors. I'm sick of hearing about her. I'm like, man, you know, Fred, I don't want to hear about your girlfriend anymore. I'm pretty sure she doesn't walk on water. I said, you're going to find out that when you get married, she doesn't sweep with the broom. She might just fly with that thing. Just kidding. I'm kidding. But it's like all night long, oh, putting this and putting that. I'm like, putting what? But man, he was excited about her. You know, I ought to check out, but that's been like 25 years now, and find out if he's still excited, all right? But I know one thing about her. He was excited about her. Years ago, I took a group of guys. We were at youth conference up in North Valley. And I'm in the car. I'm taking the guys back to the hotel. Chanta was in the car, and there was a couple other guys. Now, this is a long time ago. This is back. What was the original video game with the karate game? Street Fighter. Yeah, it was Street Fighter. So I'm driving, and these guys are in the back of the car, and they're talking about Street Fighter. Now, I just thought it was a video game. I didn't know that these characters actually had a life. They had, like, relatives, and these guys for, like, 5 or 10 minutes are talking back and forth about, you know, all I remember was Jung Lee. Was that one of the girls' name? The girl, Lee. And, you know, well, she was married to this guy but didn't work out, you know, and now she's dating the short, fat guy that jumps around and spins in the air. And they're talking for 10 minutes, and finally I'm like, hey, guys. I said, man, if you knew that much about the Bible, you'd be Jesus. And I think Chanta said, ouch. Okay. Look, we talk about the things we're excited about. And if we're excited about God, we'll have no problem talking about him, and we'll have no problem praising him. And I hope you praised him this Thanksgiving as you were stuffing turkey in your mouth. He's our praise. We see that number 5, that he's our provision. The next verse, my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Isn't it Snickers bar? Doesn't it say it satisfies? Well, that's actually true advertising. I love Snickers bars. Those work. But it satisfies. You know what advertisements are trying to tell you? That this product, if you get it, will satisfy that craving in your life. And then you buy it and find out, well, it'll only satisfy if you buy the accessories. There's always more. Hey, there's only one thing I know for sure satisfies. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the verse that Brother Grandy preached on a couple weeks ago. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Here's the thing about the promises of God. They only work if you put them into practice. If you don't, they don't work. That's why God says about tithing, hey, put me to the test and see if I will not open the windows of heaven. How are you going to find out if that's true? You got to obey it. And you find out, hey, it works. How do I know the Lord is good? Well, the only way you're going to know is you have to taste of the Lord. And once you taste of the Lord, you're going to find out that he is good. But if you don't taste of him, you don't know that. He is our provision. I must hasten. Number 6, he's our pondering. He says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. What do we think about? Do you ever think about God? When you're in bed sometimes, and maybe you wake up, sometimes you wake up, maybe it takes a few seconds to get back to bed. I'll tell you how you can get right back to bed. Start praying. Because Satan doesn't like that. He'll make sure, I don't know if he has spoofle dust or whatever it is, man. I don't know if the Sandman comes in and he blinks on you. But man, start praying. You say, what if I don't fall back to sleep? Hey, you'll be able to pray for a lot of people. Okay? You ever just think about God? He's my pondering. When we're excited about something, we think about it. It's in our memory banks. When we're reading scripture and there's something good in there, maybe it hits our mind. Maybe throughout the day that little thought will be right there and we'll think about it. Most of us, we just put God on the shelf after Sunday and say, hey, Lord, we'll see you next Sunday. Try that with your wife and see how that works. You'll be eating at McDonald's a lot. Our mind is very important. Remember, we talked about prayer a few weeks ago. One of the things that keeps God from answering our prayers is when we have a bad thought life, when we regard iniquity in our heart, the Bible says he doesn't hear us. But what do you think about? Turn over to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. We ought to think about the right things that God wants us to think about. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Here Paul says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. These are all things that can relate directly back to God. What comes into our mind? By the way, you know, the flesh and the devil, there's always kind of thoughts that are going to come to your mind, and you got to filter those out. They may come through your mind, but make sure they keep going. And purposely think on right things. Do you ever think about God away from church? During the day, maybe you're just, and you're on your own, and the Lord's been good to me today. You know, the Bible talks about meditating day and night, pray without ceasing. That's really just having God on your thoughts. And as you go throughout the day, not having a problem stopping and praying, hey, let me pray about this thing real quick. Let me think about what God is doing here. But he's our pondering. Let me give you one more. A couple verses down, he is our path. He says, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. You see, when God's your God, you know what your ultimate goal in life is? To follow his will and do what he says. By the way, as we talked about this morning when we talked about Joseph, what is true success? Finding God's will for your life and following it. That way everybody can be successful if we do what God wants us to do. And I know there's some people, you hear someone from our church, they've been called, you know, oh, I'm called, I'm going to go to Cambodia. And eventually, hopefully someday, we'll have some people that are called and saying, I want to be on Team China. And I know there are people in our church, and maybe they think, what a waste. Why would they want to go spend their life in China? Because they want to follow God's path for their life. Why would Brother Hawking spend so many years on the mission field? Because he was following God's path for his life. Just be, you know, God, what do you want me to do? You say, well, I don't think God's going to call me to do anything like that. Well, then God does have something for you to do. Get up tomorrow morning and say, God, I want to do what you want me to do today. Why don't you guide my path? Maybe you'll bring someone in my way that you'll want me to talk to or to witness to be an encouragement, to strength. I don't know what it is, but I want to follow you today. Following God's path for our life is basically just a day-to-day experience. We get so caught up in, well, what's the future hold? I have no idea. Say, what's going to happen a year from now? I don't know. Hopefully we're in the building. Amen? I can see that, by the way. I don't know. But I know that I can get up tomorrow, and you can get up tomorrow. Let's just follow God tomorrow. And then we'll follow him on Tuesday. We'll follow him on Wednesday. We'll follow him on Thursday. And we'll do that for a year. And guess where we'll be in a year? We'll be right where God wants us to be. But you won't do that if God's not your passion. If God's just someone you visit on Sunday, it ain't going to happen. God's got to be a vital, living part of your life. I would to God that all of us would be like David. So we could just say, you know what? He's not just God. He's not just the Lord. He's my God, and I'm not ashamed of that fact. Let's pray this evening.